This episode is brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi, it rhymes, is the industry leader in Delta 8 THC products. Delta 8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. Go to 3Chi.com, the number 3CHI.com, to shop for Delta 8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S-21, at checkout and receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
Man, you are surrounded by Wallcraft right now.
I'm in my mom's Wallcraft room, her room of crafts, and my stepdad Joe has put up one of the little pegboards you put in the garage for tools.
Oh!
But he threw it up here in the room for the craft stuff.
Dude, that is legit.
See where everything's at, where her wooden leaves and anchors are. You know, where's the metal butterflies? You got to understand, where's the ropes? You know, like right here next to me. Oh, look at that. Wired jute cord, bro. Ready to go home. Wow.
So all the materials that she'll use has a place to hang on the pegboard.
Yeah.
God, dude, they're such a... And by the way, we hung out with them while we were in Jewett, Ohio. Shout out to the fine people of Jewett, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Everyone that came to that show, you were awesome. You were just awesome. What an amazing crowd. But your mom is in a beautiful relationship. They're such a great couple. Like, fun, and you can tell, like they're into each other. I mean, he put a pegboard up on the wall so she could hang all her craft material.
This kid is a hanging machine. He hangs stuff up over here.
That's
He's a machine awesome. Of hangery. Things are getting hung, bro.
My dad, I can't show that to my dad, or man, my mom will kill me because he will pegboard the entire inside of their house. He loves the pegboard.
The pegboard should be utilized more. It's going to waste just in the garage.
I know, but also I do need to pegboard my garage. I got to do so much to my garage, dude. It's just a house of fuckery right now.
Your garage is halfway there.
Yeah, but you know how messy it gets.
Yeah, you're a peg wall away. You have to probably hang up one of those things where you that clip on the broomsticks and what all the handles to all the stuff in the garage.
That's what I need, because everything's on the floor and it's just a house of fuckery. You gotta step around shit constantly. I hate it.
I would like to hang up pegboard for wires and cables.
Ooh,
and label them HDMI, fucking mini USB. I mean, it just go off, dude. You know?
Do you have a label gun?
No, but I have some points on Amazon, so I'm thinking maybe I'm gonna go ahead and get me one.
You should get a label gun. They're so much fun, dude. Remember at Pat's, we first got started, and Collie was like organizing that back room with all the cables and equipment and shit. He and I went fucking ham with that label gun, dude. We were labeling everything. They're a blast, though.
Yeah.
I would have everything labeled in here. Why do I not have everything labeled?
I need to get a label gun.
I just want a label right here. It says coffee cup.
Look at that. Label it, bro.
Light blue. That way.
Listen, with the aliens getting closer and closer, you know, they are more advanced than us, but that doesn't mean that they know what that is. You know what I mean? No. They don't know that's technically a coffee cup made out of a certain ceramic material that maybe isolates the heat and also makes it to where you don't burn yourself as much as you would if you touched a coffee.
Right. Let's say I have a traffic accident and I bang my head during the traffic accident. And, you know, like in the movies sometimes where you have complete amnesia and you're like starting over in life, like that one movie with Harrison Ford. It was from 1987. Then I would have to relearn everything. If everything's already labeled, I would be like, oh, this is what I put my coffee in. This is a coffee cup. Mm-hmm. And what is this color? Light blue. Boom. I just learned two things.
It's that easy. Mm. And what you're not going to get is that result if you don't have a label maker.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm telling you, we need the cork board needs a definite. I mean, the peg board difference, big difference between cork and peg.
Also, though, a whole wall of cork board.
Come on,
fucking awesome.
You know, I'm not trying to bend over as much, so I might just go mid wall up.
Yeah,
maybe just throw like a whatchamacallit, a fascia of some sort across the middle there.
Yeah,
paint the bottom a different color. Then, you know, maybe you got the navy blue bottom. Then you got the white fascia, a good 6-inch thick, nice one.
Yeah.
And then the top all pegboard.
That's a great idea. You could get, you know, sometimes they call it chair rail. Mm-hmm. But I think if you just get like a 1x6 and run it all the way across that wall.
There it is.
Paint it white. No clear separation between mm-hmm. the two. Mm-hmm. Even you could even run that kind of that tongue and groove paneling, that wood shit from the bottom down.
A good tongue and groove paneling. Ooh. Very underestimated.
Let's go.
Very underestimated. I will say I'm a big fan of the fascia boarding inside the top, the middle, the bottom, and all that. It looks really nice.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I think I'm writing these down right now because when I redo my garage, mm-hmm. definitely pegboard wall and definitely a corkboard wall. I want a giant corkboard wall in here in the studio. So in this studio, you remember how it is, the weight room's on the other side.
Yeah.
Now that Angie has her own shed office, mm-hmm. she's not in there anymore in my way. So
yeah,
I am definitely going to combine the two offices, possibly by taking out part of this wall. If nothing else, I'll just take the fucking door off and I'll, you know, have an open doorway into there. But I want an entire wall in there to be pegboard. I mean, corkboard. So when I'm working on like documentary or whatever, boom, cards, 3x5 cards can go over the whole fucking wall.
Yeah, and you get a different project, you know, corked off. Yeah. And then also you can still have the pegboard for cables and stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, you got these ones. What are these called right here? I forgot. These are the mic cables.
The XLRs?
XLRs. Mm-hmm. Then you could label off 8-foot XLR, 6-foot XLR, 22-foot XLR. Come on.
Dude, now we're talking.
You're going to have so much room for activities.
I know. If we lived in the same area, we would have to start saving right now for our own little warehouse studio.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine if we had like a pole, if we operated out of like a pole barn, but part of it was like finished space, all of it finished and insulated. But with the recording studio and then fucking all this other shit or for inventory shit.
A super barn, bro. The super magic barn.
A super magic barn.
That's what we have to call it. I mean, listen, we have to get a real barn.
We probably could grow our own herbs in there.
Yeah, especially because it'll be legal.
Yes.
And that's just another more of legal. That's just actual stimulating legal activity. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You used to be a police officer, used to bust fools. But guess what? The laws change and so does he. Mm-hmm. You mold with the laws, Todd.
I adapt. You know?
You're a chameleon. Legally speaking, you're a chameleon.
Thank you. I am the legal chameleon. That's going to be the name of my autobiography, by the way.
The Legal Chameleon with Todd McComas. This is you're listening to the audiobook of Legal Chameleon, written by Todd McComas.
Oh, listen to this, everybody. While in Jewett, Ohio, Friday night, while leaving the show, trying to get back to the hotel, guess who got stopped by the state popo?
Your boy and me and Todd.
Sean was driving. I'm riding shotgun. Evidently, it's just a known thing. I mean, you can see it happen all night as you stand out in the deck of this venue. Uh-huh. The state police just sit there and then wait for people to leave, and they follow off every car that leaves to see if you're going to be drunk or not. And
that's entrapment.
Yeah, not a great practice, especially when the town only has this. It only has this bar.
Yeah.
And you're terrorizing the people. But this trooper, very nice. I'm going to tell them,
Awesome.
Cause he ends up letting us go. No problems, whatever. What the trooper didn't realize was Sean only swerved over the middle of the road because we were trying to capture video of what we believe to be a UFO.
There was a humongous light on the backside of these branches. I'm sorry, of the tree in our line of sight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a windy road back to the hotel. And, you know, I was fine. And then when the light started flaring up back there, we had a problem.
Yeah. I mean, picture a dip, you know, where two mountains meet. So there's a low, like almost like skyline wise, looks like a valley between two mountains, but it's still like obviously still way up in the air. Mm-hmm. And this glow light, boom. And then the lights start to change colors and it's like lighting up the whole sky and they're flashing in sequence. Fucking UFO.
We thought it was a UFO.
We were sure it was a UFO, and we were trying to film it. I was trying to film it, and I'm all over in front of Sean with my, like, look at that. I'm freaking out. I cause him to swerve.
And so we pulled this over, and then, you know, we go through the test, and I had a few beers or whatever throughout mm-hmm. the show, but, you know, it was fine.
No problem.
And, you know, and he was fine with it, but, I completely forgot about the goddamn aliens once I got pulled over. And then... so I'm in the car, I'm talking to him because it was raining out. So it was not like he just put me in the car because I'm
right.
I wasn't handcuffed or anything.
Uh-huh.
He put me in the car because it was raining. He's like, hey, it's raining. We can just finish combo in here. So I sit down, we're talking, and he goes, you know, you were fine. Then all of a sudden he goes, did something happen? Why'd you swerve so late, like out of nowhere? And then I just like from in the background, when we got back, I go, you know what, sir? I'm not exactly sure. And then I completely spaced out about the aliens. And I just hear Todd go,
spaced out.
Todd said, well, we were fucking looking at the aliens.
I did.
And
he
like, looked at
me. He gave me a look like, who's this motherfucker?
Then he gave me the test and I was cool. And he let me go. He let us go. But I'll tell you what, though, I couldn't believe that. You know what? I guess it was just shot out of my brain because. If I'm trying to explain to people that I try to tell the cops that the reason I swerved was because we fucking thought we saw an alien on the backside of a bush or a line of trees, it's like, all right, buddy, you know what? Let's go. I mean, maybe it was better that I just remember my brain made me forget that, because what if that was the thing that would have set him off? If I go, well, actually, sir, we thought we saw aliens on the other side of them trees over there and we were fucking trying to videotape it. If I think my partner might have some of it on tape, very shaky as we tried to get it. And then the next lights we saw was between the alien lights were your blue lights, sir. And then that was a wrap.
That's what was so weird. That feeling of we're watching this crazy light show going on in the mountains. We're thinking our UFOs. And then the next thing you know, when we're like, holy shit, you know, is this really happening? We're like, oh, what's all these blue and red lights flashing behind us? Like, oh, shit, we're getting pulled over.
I thought it was just a fucking another alien ship.
Yeah, that would have been wild. Because for a second, it did make me pucker a little bit. Like, did these motherfuckers just send a little ship behind us to fucking swoop us in? But
by the way, also, it turns out, I guess that there's some flares that go off at some shit around there. Off of one of the industrial places.
There's like oil rigs out there.
Something's going on. But
yeah. And I guess this burns off the extra, I don't know, fumes or whatever. So it's crazy
mm-hmm.
bright and big fire shit. I don't know. Flares.
But it was a wonderful guy. It was really nice. You know, other people tell me that when they get pulled over, they're assholes. I was talking to somebody, and then when they got pulled over, they were being a dick about it. I go, wait, why wouldn't? Who are you to be like, how can you be a dick to the cops? Like it's, you know what it is? It's when people are like, how dare you pull me over? Like, what do you mean? That's their job. How dare you?
Right.
How can you say how dare you to cops for pulling you over, bro?
Yeah. But
unless you're in a school zone going 5 miles an hour in an amazing car, but you're black or something like that, then there might possibly be some racial profiling going on.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, you know, even then, that's, you don't want to be saying, you know, you got a lot of balls pulling me over.
I do want to say to that trooper, if he's listening, you're a very nice guy. You're very cool for an Ohio trooper, because Ohio troopers are notoriously death on people. But Let me say this. Don't sit up on the bars, bro. That's not real police work. It's cheating. You're just harassing your own communities. But don't also, sit up on the bars.
Yeah, you know what? If they are doing that at practice, I wish they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But I will say that the people can also just be saying that. You know, if they're patrolling the area.
No, I watched them.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I sat out there that, like, when you were on the Saturday show.
Uh-huh.
So you went after me. So during a lot of your set, I'm out there, mm-hmm. and I'm watching the trooper. Every time a car would leave, vroom, here would come the trooper behind him, and then you would see him stop the car in the background with his lights going. And they were like, yeah, this is every night. Every night they set up on this place.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That sucks so bad, bro. And I don't think, they're probably not great Uberers there either.
Yeah, they said there's a little like alleyway between those houses where they sit and they can get a good eye shot of people leaving.
Damn. You know, that same cop pulled over my parents the next night on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he pulled them over too.
See?
Same
leaving
guy.
The
goes,
venue?
I think I pulled, yeah. He goes, I pulled your son over last night.
Oh, Jesus.
He's like, he looked at my stepdad. What you been drinking? He goes, two Pepsis? Yeah, so they're getting them, bro. That's wild.
Wow. Don't stop doing that, trooper. Don't.
You know what you do? Just park down the street, man.
Yeah.
Just go. I mean, all people are going to do is adapt to it.
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, it sucks for them because they don't have Uber.
I know.
So it's not like. It's like they're living in the old days, travel wise, bar scene wise.
Yeah, because we drove both nights, so I didn't even attempt to look at Uber. Did you talk to anybody about Uber?
No, they do not have it.
Oh, they don't.
Never have. They said one time they had one guy who like had a van, and he would give people rides homes.
So is it just technically they just don't have no one that works for the Uber app in their neighborhood? Because they probably could have it, right? Or is it the service is so crappy?
Well, yeah, as long as they have AT&T, you'd be able to use Uber there. But they have no Uber drivers that live in the area. And because there's just not enough business, I guess.
Yeah, they – if I was a taxpayer in that town, I would be pissed off that they need to get a fucking tower for the other services.
I know. Well, hey, listen, Shelbyville, Indiana has 19,000 people that live in it, and they don't have Uber.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just because the app don't work there? Because there's no, I mean, what if there's 10 drivers in this area?
It's just no drivers will go there because there's not enough steady business for them. So they're all in Indianapolis and Greenwood, like the surrounding bigger areas. And they're like, fuck Shelbyville. I'm not going to Shelbyville.
Yeah. The only time you go to Shelbyville is if you go into your parents' house.
Yes. Or if you want to marry one of my ex-wives.
Yeah. That's where they're at. They're there, bro. They're there. They're in Shelbyville. They're waiting.
That's the only thing there is to do in Shelbyville. Hang out with my ex-wives.
There's a whole little neighborhood off the man-made lake out there, right? It's just the Todd X's out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
They're all just living off of the money they took half of.
Mm-hmm.
And they're out there living it up in Shelbyville.
They all have a cabin out there. It's like a communal area.
You have like an ex-wives and a month club out there, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's right next, you know, how they have an FOP, they have a Moose Lodge and an Eagles Lodge, and then they have an Ex-Wives of Todd Lodge.
Yeah. They actually have stuff that they have labeled there at the lodge of all the stuff that they took from you in each divorce.
Yes.
So you could see they're labeled 1, 2, or 3 of all the divorces.
Mm-hmm.
So that you could say, oh, Todd used to have this, but he gave it up in the second divorce.
Yeah. That's the whole decor of the building.
That's pretty awesome. That's you know, listen, it's history. It's historical facts. It's, you know, it's antiques of, you know, your failed relationships. And a lot of wars have failed. But guess what? The weapons are still on display for everyone to see.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, look at Megan Pike monitoring live, because we are, by the way, we are recording this live for the members of Patreon. Like, they're watching it live on video. We're going to do that maybe once every 2 weeks. So it's just a little benefit for signing up for, you know, Patreon and being a patron. So Megan Pike says, she in the comments, that she would Love to see that show. What a great show. It's just all Todd's exes on their own show. I don't think they deserve their own show, to be honest.
No, they don't. They don't deserve their own show.
No. They can have their own little, lodge. Yeah,
their own lodge, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their own little community thing. But
we can't have them end up with more followers than Todd.
No.
Now that's a slap in the face.
No.
Now they're making money off the backs of Todd.
Yeah, no? Right? I already have a son who has a bigger following than me. I don't need all my ex-wives having a bigger following.
Yeah, that's the son. Well, you could draw the line to son.
Yeah, still love the son.
Still love the son. He's still very important.
right.
All his stuff is still current. He don't have numbers and stuff. That never gets a number.
Yeah.
You don't divorce your kid.
Exactly.
The real ex-wives of Todd McComas. That's what they're going to call it, or Shelbyville.
Oh, geez. What a show that would be.
The real ex-wives of Todd McComas, Shelbyville. That's funny as fuck.
That would be hilarious. We should make a fake one of those. We should get some friend comedians, some female friend comedians to play my ex-wives.
But get an absurd amount, like five of them.
I know. Yeah. God, Mary Santora would be so good at that. She plays like... Cause she's from similar family situation as me. Like, but she would have been actually like came up in one of my certain cousins' households. Like the ones I talk about, she was in that. Yeah, she's. So
I watched that show. I've watched the Basketball Wives here and there because I'll come in and my lady will be watching it.
Uh huh.
I mean, that's got to be a demographic of 95.5 as far as women to men to watch those type of shows.
Yes.
I actually had my period before the thing ended, but luckily I had it put in a tampon because a commercial had came on for the 12th time. So I was focused and ready, but they are just getting drunk and yelling at each other, bro, and swatting at each other and shit, hammered, and people breaking up fights. And then they wake up and eat breakfast and talk about it and just recap it. I remember when I first moved to Indy and then, you know, things were, they were kind of quiet out the gate, you know, there wasn't much happening. I only knew three people. You know, I knew you, I knew Bowers, and then I knew Mike.
Oh, Gardner.
Yeah. And that was it, bro.
Yeah.
And so it was a slow open, you know, and it was, but which was good. I didn't need to do anything. I had no money and I had no reason to go do no shit. So if I didn't hang out with you guys, I would just stay at home and fucking Snapchat my cooking ramen noodles, right?
Which fucking birth to an awesome show. So thank God you were fucking bored at first.
Yeah. And so what the fuck was I saying? I was bored.
You only knew me, Bowers, Gardner.
When I moved there.
Did they have anything to do with my ex-wives?
The ex-wives.
No, you were talking about those shows with all the...
I remember. Yeah, I got it. Good one. Way to go. Okay, so I, you know... Like in Long Beach, most of my life for that matter, if some shit, there was never really a monster recap the next day because not everybody was always back there. Mm-hmm. So like anytime I had gone or done anything, you do it and then everybody kind of wanders off, you know, they all go home. So there's never like that recap like they have on those shows.
Yes.
Where everybody comes back down and they're all in the same house and they're just, that was the first time I met Dougie. Was we did the recap of the Pat McAfee July 4th fucking no cell phone extravaganza.
Right.
And that was the next morning. I was so clueless to half the shit that popped off. I'm just a goofball. You know, I was making salsa and some shit up early and then the beginning of the party. You know, I don't know. And then I remember Doug Dale just came in the morning. I woke up on the couch there. We're all downstairs. And he gives us the fucking rundown on everything that happened. The biggest recap of anybody I'd ever seen in my life of any event. I was like, how do you know all this? Were you everywhere at one time? What in the fuck am I listening to here? And that and the way he did that recap is the way those shows, they do recaps.
Yes.
The next morning
when they
explain that Chantrell just slapped Julia in the face last night and threw wine on her and then somebody kissed somebody's dude. Like, that's what it is.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. That's so funny. It's exactly like that. By the way, those shows, I'll watch them. Angie's got me watching.
They get us watching
a lot of these dumb reality shows, like Big Brother. Stupid as fuck, dude. But you know what? I watch it. It's like captivating, you know, like I can't, I'm always, and if I go like if, you know, a couple weeks, like I haven't watched it, I'm like, hey, what happened to, you know, the last vote off or what? And boom, I'm sucked in. Got to watch it.
Yeah. It's I feel the exact same way, bro. That's just what happens. It's kind of like in the Uber thing, like the Uber bit that I do where like the dude just keeps talking. And next thing you know, I'm wrapped up in this guy's problems. I already forgot what my problems. I forgot what I was even going. And this guy is just telling me everything. And I can't get enough, even though I don't want to technically, do I want to hear this? No. Did I want to be in the situation? No.
Yeah.
But you know what else? Kind of fucking wrapped up in it now.
We're here now. Now I got to know. I got to see how that ends.
I think that happens in real life in relationships.
I think you're right.
I think people sometimes get wrapped the fuck up and they're like, you know what? Should I be here? No. Should this be happening? No. Is this what I wanted? No. But it's pretty fucking interesting, and I kind of want to stick around for the end.
I want to see where this thing goes. Yeah.
Where does this go?
It's so right, dude. It's so right.
This weekend, Louisville, Kentucky, the Caravan Comedy. Right there by that old mall and shit.
Bardstown Road, which, by the way, is one of the best. I'm going to say this nationally speaking. Mm-hmm. The Bardstown Road is one of the coolest stretches of bar restaurant combo. I mean, you can spend a whole weekend walking up and down the Bardstown, eating at great mom and pop style restaurant shops.
Yeah.
And then drinking at cool ass bars that used to be somebody's house. Like and they all have cool ass patios this time of year. So I'm going to try to come, I think, Saturday.
Okay.
So everybody should try to come to those shows. I may even come Friday. I mean, it might spend the whole fucking weekend. And because I love watching your show, but then also afterward, it's such a good hang. Go have some beers at these cool patios and stuff.
We got Ben Paluzzi will be there doing some sets on Friday and Saturday. And nice. Also, special guest hit me up, said he's got to work. He was hoping to work out some bits. So on the weekend, so Steve Jessup's gonna roll by.
Nice.
My homie Mark, he's gonna come by and do some get-ins there. There was an MC. I didn't want to pull a power move. There was already a booked MC. I left the feature alone. There was an MC, but I'm still gonna give that guy. I'm still gonna pay that guy $100. And but then Ben's gonna MC on Friday and Saturday.
Nice.
So, you know, listen. I think that's a fair trade-off because then I got Steve Jessup coming in. Listen, sometimes this happens as an MC. You know what I mean? Headliner coming in. His buddies are there. His buddies are fucking awesome. Got a lot, you know, outside of their comedy, they're just good dudes. You know, so now Todd rolls in. We're going to be fucking be nice little showroom Friday or both. Actually, all days, but it could be extra when you got your buddies hanging out.
It'll be a good hang. I probably won't do any guest sets. I just like to watch Steve and because I know him as well. Great dude. Great dude to hang out with. And then Ben. Love Ben, obviously. It'll be a good hang.
Yeah, maybe we can get a couple angles of this and try to get some clips out for it.
Oh, here we go.
Maybe we can get a couple clips. Get a couple clips.
Maybe I should come and film. Maybe I should be the videographer.
You listen, Todd. We're going to be doing some production.
/ hangout guy.
Also, I think I left my lav in your bag or something. I don't know. I didn't come back with it from wherever we just were, South Carolina. It's one of the best. Either you or Jeff's. No big deal.
Yeah. You know what? I'm a piece of shit, so I haven't unpacked my shit yet.
Me neither.
And I'm talking clothes or gear. So I'll inventory it.
Well, me and my lady, a lot of times, you know, if you have more than one or two suitcases, then you can get away with this. You know, you can just kind of leave a suitcase just over there in the corner.
Yeah, that's what
kind
I do.
Kind of full of stuff.
My lady hates it. She's like, as soon as she gets home, the first thing she has to do is completely unpack. It's bizarre. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, well, I'm unpacking. I'm like, you do that like the next time you have to travel and you need the suitcase again. You don't do it like right after. You leave it on the floor until the next trip you got to take. And you're like, oh, I forgot all these dirty clothes were in this suitcase.
Yeah.
Even though you just see it every day.
Maybe you can slowly pull stuff out of it when you need it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm out of underwear. Let me dig through. Oh, yep. Got three pair in there.
Boom. Jackpot.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. That's how you unpack, folks.
By the way, you can't have enough underwear. I'm going to start, I think, just go on a get a subscription. Mm-hmm. Renew my subscription to, I don't know, what's the...
The underoos.com.
Yeah, but what's the real cool...
Tommy John.
Tommy John. I think I'm going to renew
They're like $35 for a pair of undies, bro.
Yeah.
But they are unbelievable undies.
They are.
But Jesus Christ, I don't care if I was making the most money of my life, even though I was the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
Compared to like not making the most money of my life. And even then...
Yeah,
$35 for a pair of under. My lady got me a couple pairs one year for my birthday, and I'm putting these nice set there because they're unbelievable underwear. They might be the Louis Vuitton of underwears.
Absolutely,
they could be they're definitely like the Gucci of the underwears world
for sure. But yeah, I lose underwear too. I lose more underwear and socks. Like you have no fucking idea where in the hell these things go.
If you ever want to just judge somebody, if somebody keeps adding the S to the end of the underwear, then it's like they're a weird person. It's like, man, I can't keep losing my underwears. Like, if you constantly make underwear plural, it's a really weird thing. Like, listen, I have to buy some new underwears. Lately, I've been packing underwears, and I'm running out. You know, I can't find. Mm-hmm. I got no clean underwears anywhere. You see how fucked up it sounds?
It does sound fucked
underwear up. Also is a word phonetically. The more I hear the word underwear and I say the word underwear, it kind of gives it more of a rubbery feel, like there's something rubber about it, even though there isn't. It's wear that's underneath your outerwear. It's your underwear. But at the same time.
Got somebody on the show there. Underwear is the most important piece of clothing that we have. And I don't respect it enough. I feel like I should have an underwear section in my closet.
I got the drawer. I got the undershirt and the underwear, and then the socks are the next one over, bro. The top mm-hmm. two smaller ones, the top, or it's just I don't ever fold underwear undershirts. I toss them in that one drawer,
mm-hmm.
and then the socks go in the other drawer. And I will say this: if I had to live in the most comfortable state of comfortability, it'd probably be just a perfectly, you know, maybe an unopened pair of the best underwear and the perfect fitted tank top up there that also goes. They call it the Dub B.
Right.
One of those. That's probably like fresh out the shower with the clean underwear. You got the fresh Dub B and you know, brushed teeth and a combed hair still a little bit wet.
Mm-hmm.
That's peak me. That's peak me.
Yeah. I can't wait. I like to walk around in my underwear, so I am going to have to I can't wait till I do whatever I need to do to get rid of this gut, cuz right now I don't feel I'm like, no, I shouldn't be walking around right now in my underwear. It's disgusting.
I mean, I don't think your lady minds, bro.
No, she doesn't mind. It's just I mind.
Oh, you mind personally.
Well, every time I pass the mirror, I'm like, oh, what am I doing right now?
I just suck it in, bro. I don't have any shape. Mirrors. That's your problem. You have mirrors that go below the waist.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you can't tell, if you kind of like hold your belly in a little bit, the shadows kind of go away, so it doesn't look as large. But when you have to compare the belly shadow that you see on your legs or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you could see the composition between stomach to pelvic and like thigh. Then you're like, mm-hmm. oh, man, that's rough.
When I start my HIIT training, boom, after 1 month of that, I'll be all right. I'll just be walking around in my underwear mm-hmm. all the time. Because it's basically I'm wearing what you wear to fight in the UFC.
Mm-hmm. Or WWE.
The tight shorts or the WWE from a wrestler, whatever. That's why, you know, so I should want to be able to walk around publicly in that and look decent. The fact that I allow myself to not look decent in mm-hmm. that, in just underwear,
pretty.
That's on me. That's I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah, you're a real big
I don't unpack my clothes.
You don't.
Or my gear.
Honestly, I'm so trained by how you roll into ad reads. The way you just did that, I thought I got nervous for a second that I didn't have a fucking underwear ad read pulled up. Because I was like, oh, it's coming. Are here it comes. I feel it coming in. Where's my notes? I thought you were rolling right into a fucking undies ad read, bro. I'm rolling right into this weekend, though. I'll tell you that.
Rolling. You
Louisville.
Are rolling.
Comedy Caravan.
Let's go. I think also anyone that's around, I'm looking it up right now. That's around Carmel, Indiana, which is just the north side of Indianapolis. So also, I guess anybody from Indianapolis can catch me at, wait for it, at Feinstein's Cabaret on September 9th. That's a little ways out, okay, but you got time to start getting the tickets. That's on my site. Feinstein's Cabaret. First time they were ever trying stand-up comedy. Yeah, it's like a dinner cabaret place. So usually they just have like theater or music stuff, musical acts. First time for comedy.
Well, see what happens. Guess what? It's not going to be the last time. I'll tell you that right now.
No. Nope.
I'll tell you that.
I was going to look it up. So I went on UFC Unfiltered yesterday.
Oh, how did that go, bro?
It was very cool because
Jim Norton and Matt Serra, awesome. Yeah,
because you and I are huge Matt Serra fans.
Yeah.
And we're huge Jim Norton fans because of comedy. So it was like, oh, this is the best of both worlds. The two fucking awesome legends from both things that I love, you know? So it was very cool. They were very nice. Right away, they just wanted to know about me and my background. Like, what the fuck? You were a cop, a detective? What, like, what? And they just had a lot of questions about it. And then I think I was a little nervous. I was talking a little, monopolizing the conversation a little more than I would, you know? Like, and talking a little faster.
But then if they're asking you full-on stuff, then it's okay.
Sure. So then after a while, I was like, oh, they're not asking me any UFC stuff. Maybe they think I don't know anything about the UFC. Well, I'd been studying my ass off, so I just started interjecting some UFC stuff. But I did, like, I talked about how I discovered the very first one live when it was happening on satellite TV.
Yeah.
And how I fell in love with it afterwards. So I think I offered some cool historical stuff. And, you know, and I sucked Matt Serra off for a while, just being a fanboy, which Jim probably didn't enjoy that part. But
he told me one day he hooked me up with old Matt Serra over at their jiu-jitsu gym.
Oh, yeah.
When I was in New York, and then the pandemic hit, so that was a wrap on that.
Well, yeah, we got to meet him. We need to hit him up on Instagram and bring it. Jim probably wouldn't want to do our show, but I'm thinking Matt Serra would, you know, because Jim probably gets bugged all the time, but no, fuck, you know, whatever. But maybe he would as well. I don't know. We're fans of both of them. So
yeah,
we'll try to see if we can work it out. But it's up today. The episode's up today. There's my name, Vince Pichel, and comedian Todd McComas. Look at that.
Boom, kid.
But anyway, so Matt Serra, actually, he said, did you go see the UFC at the UFC event in Indianapolis? And I knew immediately what he was talking about. Like, that's when he fought Lytle.
Yeah.
You know, for the tough championship, you know, because they both were in the finals of the Ultimate Fighter.
Were you there?
And I didn't go to it. And now I can't remember why I didn't go, but I didn't. And I said, I didn't, but you fought. And he interrupted me. He was like, yeah, I got the shit beat out of me by Chris Lytle that night, which I found like interesting that he said, because Serra got the decision, but he sounded like he wasn't necessarily very proud of getting the decision. Like, he's a real humble dude. And you would think like Matt Serra pretty cocky because he kind of come off that way, you know?
Yeah.
But very humble dude. He was like, he beat the shit out of me. He's like, I won, but you know, fuck, if you saw my face, you wouldn't think I won. I was bleeding everywhere. And afterward, but he said, I love Chris Lytle so much. He's like, that dude just so nice. He said, literally in that fight, there was 10 seconds left before the bell was, you heard the clap went off to let you know there's 10 seconds left before the bell rings in the final round. And Chris, instead of like trying to punch his way out of it at the end, went, just held out his arms like, give me a hug, brother. Thanks for fighting. And he literally said, he's like, hey, thanks for standing and banging with me a little bit. And boom. He's like, that guy's the greatest. I said, that's why we love him, man. That's why we love him.
Goddamn, Chris Lytle's an angel.
Right? So.
That's a great story. And, it's so funny here because, you know, we've talked to Chris about a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
I know, he's like, listen, and he's talked about Chris, about any of his losses in UFC. He goes, well, I let it go to the judges. That's my fault.
Yeah.
If you don't end the fight, then it's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also, if you don't know shit about Chris Lytle, he's the only UFC fighter, I think, with 30 fights under his belt that has never been submitted or knocked out.
Yeah.
His only losses were from decisions.
Yep. Like, that's nobody else has that. No, I guarantee you he's the only fighter still. I mean, that's never been submitted or never knocked out. And to have that many fights on top of it. And think about this. Didn't even fight full time. Still a firefighter.
He was a fire. These guys are all full time right now. Jesus. Chris Lytle had 3 kids, a wife. He was a firefighter, and I think fucking still running for Senate.
Yeah.
And he still has his own
motivational nonprofit. Speaking. Yeah.
Doing a his anti-bullying nonprofit. Like, Jesus Christ. Calm down, bro. Take a day off.
Yeah.
I mean, and can you imagine? And that was really, what year was that fight?
That would have been 2008, maybe. I mean,
Twitter was starting, but can you imagine if somebody put somebody in a double submission today, like he did to Hardy? Like, you put somebody in you're in a triangle, but in a different, not from the bottom, you're on the top putting this guy in a triangle and also fucking throwing this guy. What was the other one he put him in? I always forget the name of that one. It was just arm the triangle.
Americana.
Or Americana. And I mean, unbelievable, dude. That guy's a fucking absolute animal.
Beast.
I could talk about Chris Lytle all day, but
yeah,
I know everybody want to hear us. Just, I fucking love that guy.
Yeah. And then I had to give Sarah a shout out about knocking out GSP.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was huge, bro.
Because literally, like, if you go through the UFC history, I mean, that's definitely one of the most incredible moments, because it was just such a huge upset. At that time, no one thought GSP could be beat, let alone no one thought he could lose a round.
Yeah.
To anyone. He was just so, and it was starting to get to his head a little bit. I thought GSP was kind of like, well, I'm fucking bulletproof. I'm way better than everybody. And then clip, little humility for you on the chin. Go to sleep.
I'm pumped.
See you on the rematch.
Hey, Luke Rockhold's coming back out too. He's going to be out fighting in November.
Yeah.
This guy's been training since he last lost 2 years ago, but he also got hurt and fixed his shit. This guy is a monster. I watch his Snapchat, I mean his Instagram story regularly.
Uh-huh.
Every single day. No matter what, every day this dude is training somehow somewhere.
Chael Sonnen was saying good things about him on one of his recent episodes of his podcast. He loves him some Luke Rockhold.
Well, you know, the guy's been to war for a long time. People think he could just be a fucking unstoppable warrior forever. Nobody's an unstoppable warrior forever.
No. Age catches up to you in that game. You know, he's still incredible. You still don't want to fuck with that dude. But during his reign, though,
yeah,
there was a good stretch there where you just couldn't touch that dude.
Mm-mm.
No one.
And I'm excited to watch him come out and bang again. And, you know, and everybody's going to say the same old shit. His chin is weak. Like, bitch, you sit there and eat potato chips. You don't want the fuck about nothing. You're fighting absolute warriors. Like, this, he lost to Jan Błachowicz or whatever.
Yeah.
That guy fucking is like...
He's a beast. Right,
he's like the top two guys today.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, listen, people, you're fighting the most amazing people in the world. People lose, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, like, the MMA Twitter and MMA Instagram commenters are the worst, because they are all experts and maybe 2% actually train.
I know.
Just all armchair quarter, and it's the fucking worst, bro. That's definitely, I think, the worst group on Twitter or Instagram in the comments.
Absolutely, because they earnestly believe that they are Greg Jackson level.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what they're talking about.
Like, yeah.
No, bro, you're not Greg Jackson. You don't know. You're not a fight strategy expert. You're not a training phenom. Like, you're not a fighter. You know, you can have your opinions, great, you know, of what happened, mm-hmm. but don't be fucking belittling people like, oh, you know, even like I was talking about John Jones a little bit. Like, he's the reason why the heavyweight division right now is so fucking crazy. Like, there's great fighters in there, but him coming up to heavyweight's going to be blow everything up. And he would piss me off over the years, because I want to watch you fight, bro. Same thing with Nick Diaz. Quit getting suspended. I want to watch you fight. You're amazing. That's the only problem I ever had with him. But now that he's back and he seems to have his head together, goddamn. Watch
I know.
It.
I hope he gets paid off that. Too.
Yeah.
Because we got some guys on top right now in UFC that really need to do, they need to bang it out, bro.
Yeah.
You know what right. I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm pumped to see the what's his name? We got Colby Covington fighting the fucking Nigerian Nightmare again, which is going to be unbelievable. Usman is one of my favorite guys.
Yeah, he's exciting.
But also with Francis Ngannou and John Jones and the guy that just beat the shit
Cyril out Gunn.
Out of Derek Lewis. These guys, there's some work that has to be done. It's going to be some good ass fight.
Still got Stipe in that Mitch.
Yeah.
In that mix. So dude, do you know who's fighting in 266 on the main card? Fucking Robbie Lawler and Nick Diaz. Nick Diaz is back. Hadn't fought in like 6 years.
Yeah, he's been smoking. He's been selling pounds of weed. Yeah, he gave up the fight game. But is that a rematch from their early days, right?
Because
he beat Robbie Lawler with the fucking
knocked him out.
Yeah, he knocked him out there when you did not think it was going to happen in that fight. That's another one of those ones.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just have, you know what? Fuck that. We're just going to make this a UFC podcast.
We should add a little segment in here every now and then.
A little something there. A little something for the UFC homies.
But that's old school shit. I would love for you and I to be able to go watch Nick Diaz and Robbie Lawler.
Oh, man. Where's that taking place?
Vegas. Nevada's the only state that Nick Diaz can
fight in
because it's the only state that fucking doesn't disallow marijuana use.
Oh, so you could be a fighter and smoke weed in Nevada.
Yeah, finally. Oh,
That's good. That's progress.
Yeah, it is progress.
Because I'm telling you right now, a couple of bowl rips after training, that shit goes a long way, man, for your body peeling body, like your pain management.
Yeah, for every aspect of your life. Mm-hmm. Those guys are mentally at war all the time. Let them chill.
Yeah.
Let them.
And I'll tell you what, and if it's not helpful, they won't do it because they don't want to lose fights.
No.
They're not going to do it out of spite and lose a fight to prove that they want to smoke weed more. They want, if it works for them, it'll help them. If it doesn't, they won't do it.
Mm-hmm. And it's not a PED, so who gives a fuck?
Yeah, let me tell you right now, sometimes it's a comedy PED, like I'm sitting around thinking of dumb shit. But not like if I'm on stage or if I'm fighting, like it's not a PED, bro.
Marijuana has never helped anybody beat anybody else's ass. I can tell you that.
Oh, he only beat me because he was stoned out of his mind.
He had superhuman strength.
Yeah.
Because he had smoked marijuana before he fucking disabled me.
That's hilarious.
So you haven't been back to New Jersey yet. Using this as an opportunity to visit your mama and the family.
Yeah. I had some of the shows in Ohio. My mom and, my uncle and my stepdad and my cousin, they all came out to the show. And then I just came up here for a couple of days because I have Louisville this weekend. So
I'll be at the way back.
I'll be at the Comedy Caravan Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays.
ComedyCaravan.com.
Or go to link in my bios, Linktree. Pop in the link, top link. And so I was just, coming here to hang out for a couple of days, and then I'll just drive to Louisville Thursday morning, do my shows, and then the big drive comes. The nice little 10-hour clipper back to New Jersey.
Those 10-hour drives, man, that's long.
I think that's the peak. Like, that's my 10, 11 max is my max right now in life. I can rattle it off, I can leave at 8 or 9 in the night, get through it throughout the evening, and then be rolling in around, around 7 a.m. But you got to also be careful depending on where you're at. You don't want to be catching that morning traffic coming through Pittsburgh or some shit like that.
10 hours goes so fast compared to what it used to. I mean, because I'll knock out some podcast episodes. I will listen to, maybe I have Audible, so I'll download an audiobook or something and listen to that shit. Like, it's really no problem other than, eventually, I got to worry about mileage on my truck at some point because it's a lease. But
oh shit!
But other than that, I don't mind cruising it out because I don't mind. Fuck, if I got to stop, I'll stop for a while, nap it out. I don't care.
But you know what else? You don't have you don't drive that car every day, 20 miles each way or whatever.
Right.
So, so you get to compensate on that end because you're not all over the map every single day for your job.
I might go 3 days and it doesn't leave my driveway.
Yeah.
So.
Same thing with my shit. It's either big clips or just like a ride to Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm. Dang, man. I wish we had really saw a UFO when we were in Juneau.
Man, you know, I when I'm time in New York, my buddy Carlos was over at the house, and we were just you know, smoking a little bit of weed. We had just got done eating some ramen somewhere, right? We're at the house. And I was fortunate at that moment to have an unbelievable apartment with an unbelievable view from the 44th floor, the 43rd floor. And I have the video, and in, I tweeted it out that night. This was in February 2019, I believe.
Right.
I'll send you the video, and it looked like some shit was beaming down. Now, the video camera, it does absolutely 20% of what it should look like, and in real life, what it looked like. Like, the New York skyline was taken over by rattling colors. The light was going into the sky. It was incredible, bro. Mm. And we were completely shitting ourselves. And really? We swore it happened for so long. It was for minutes. It was happening for minutes. And they came out and said it was an explosion at the power plant or something. And I was just like, I just don't. Why was it blue and then turquoise and then blue again?
Wow.
Why was there several colors? It took over. Now, my apartment at the time, you have to understand, like, the perspective I had. It right on 33rd Street, looking north towards where Central Park is. And then, you know, to the right was the Empire State Building. But I got, there was no obstruction to my view for the first 20, 30, 40 blocks.
Right.
So it was just this incredible 44 stories up vision of this fucking explosion of color. And I'll put the video up again because we were mind blown, bro.
Well, listen, it's established. Aliens are real. Mm-hmm. And at this stage in the game, if you're not a believer in that, I don't know how to help you. There is a friend of ours, a friend of mine, Nicholas Anthony. He just stopped by here last week. We went to brunch, and he does not in any way, shape, or form yield to the fact that aliens really exist. Even after all, and he was like, where's the evidence? There's no evidence. I go, like, what are you talking about, Nick? They declassified everything. All the Project Blue Book people have come forward now. Like, all these Air Force and Naval pilots. The Navy's released their ship. They've been seeing aliens in the ocean way before we even had sightings in the sky. Yeah. And there's videos now. And there's fucking all these experts who couldn't come forward before because they were locked down under classifications, you know, that prevented it. And now they can. There's evidence. So I want everybody right now to... If you wouldn't mind, just do me a favor.
Do Todd a favor.
Send a little, you know, tag at Nikki Tony, N-I-C-K-Y-T-O-N-Y, in a tweet and let him know aliens are real. Use the hashtag aliens are real. Provide your own piece of evidence. Tag him in it. He's not going to know why this is happening, by the way. He's just all of a sudden going to be like, why in the fuck are all these people send me shit about you know, evidence of aliens being real. And then eventually I'll let him in on it. I'll be like, hey, did you see an uptick in fucking alien evidence on your Twitter account? And he'll be like, was that you, motherfucker? And I'll be like, yeah, that's what you get. I'm trying to wake him up. At Nikki Tony, send whatever you want. Videos, you know, that you can get on the internet of the pilot videos, whatever. Send it on there. Tag him in it, at Nikki Tony, and then hashtag aliens are real.
Boom, because they are real.
Don't mention me or Sean in there. I don't want him to know where it's coming from.
All you got, listen, Joe Rogan talked to Bob Lazar.
That's all we need to know.
It showed him in the employee handbook, but when you go look at official records, it's not there because they wiped him out because he was telling the truth. The man worked on spaceships.
Mm.
Reverse engineering. That's problem with aliens is that we might not actually be seeing them. We might only have their vehicles, and we're fucking around in them to scare people.
Yeah,
to get them in line.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a really good. I think that's a very doable conspiracy as well.
Mm-hmm.
The government does a lot of shit, but to make them think that they would just drive the air, like, all right, we're doing it. We're gonna fucking hop in this thing, and we're gonna fly it around the planet. And we're gonna make people think it's aliens, and they're gonna scare the fuck out of everybody and get everybody in line.
Right. Plus, you know, if that's the case, half the time we see an alien spacecraft that has been re-engineered, reverse engineered, and we've made it, or we've just found it and we've learned how to operate it. Half the time when you see those, I guarantee you that's just one of the employees in there that's on a date with some hot chick that he's trying to impress.
Yeah.
Like, he's inviting her over there and he's like, hey, have you seen the spaceship? And she's like, no, what? And he gets in there and he takes it up and he hovers around and he's just banging the shit out of her, you know, while he's hovering over now, a nuclear facility or something.
Now when you are a high level of clearance like that would be, do you think you ever get a plus one?
I doubt it.
You can't ever just get a plus one. Just like, come on, let me get a plus one.
I think you always just got to sneak that shit.
You got to sneak in. You got to sneak in your lady.
Everybody has to get a clearance in order to get in there.
So you're saying that if you're the guy in the ship, you leave, then you're going to tell her, hey, go by way by the fence over off of
Exit
19. And then you swoop up the little, obviously that little ladder comes down that then she comes up on it.
Yeah. Or you teleport her, you just shine the light down, lasers, and you suck her up in the laser beam.
Yeah. Which
tractor beam.
One of my favorite alien movies of all time. That's what they did.
Yeah.
Remember that movie? It was in Louisiana where the guy gets sucked up and it's called.
Yeah. He was a lumber guy.
Yeah. The light, they saw light on the other side of the trees.
Yeah.
Just like we did.
And that's based on a true story, by the way. That guy's alien abduction story, they said, is the most credible because they actually found pieces of material in him where he said he was being like, he had scars there. Like, he's like, I don't know. They were doing tests on me or whatever. And they brought out material that was not of this planet.
Fire in the Sky. It was called
Fire in the Sky. Thank you.
Also, yeah, he came back 5 days later, but the worst part of that, when they held his eye open with the little thingies. Oh, I couldn't watch that part.
That guy is in, I think, Beyond the Sky or something like that. There's a new documentary out there with all this shit, and he's in it, like at present day, talking about his abduction. Like he goes around the country talking about this shit. Like,
yeah.
That dude's for real. And you can tell he's like not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Not one bit. It's just a cool older dude.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, for the fact that people just can't, like, all the pyramids are the same height, guys, in Mexico and in Africa.
If we get abducted, don't you think, like, somehow we would end up turning that whole situation into a party? Like, the everybody on that ship would probably get in trouble for not returning back to their planet on a schedule because they would we'd end up getting everybody all fucked up and they'd be like,
yeah,
just partying their asses off for 2 weeks.
I definitely see that happening, especially if you go to if the aliens stop in some of the hotter bars in town.
Yeah, we'd be like, you know, they'd be trying to experiment on us, but we'd get them laughing or whatever, and then be like, hey, we need to take this shit to Mexico right now. We can get there in what, like 2 seconds?
Yeah, boom. Let's go.
Land in Mexico and we fucking show them a good ass time.
Hey, we roll up on that ship. Guess what? The line in front of the club is going to be changed. They're going to get out of the way. We're coming into the club, bro. And you know what else? You could pretend to be an alien. You could be like, listen, no, we are copycat aliens.
Mm-hmm.
We just make ourselves look like the species of the planet that we roll up on.
Absolutely.
And that's how you get away with it.
Mm hmm.
You know what I mean? Then you learn a couple of sleight of hand tricks, do the thing with the thumb, and people are like, whoa, that guy just took his whole thumb and moved it down his fingers and back.
Obviously, he's not from this world.
Yeah, that's fucking intergalactical shit. That's 100% intergalactical. Can't do that.
I got to get one of those fire wallets, bro. Have you seen those?
Oh, yeah, that shit's fire.
The trick wallet? Fuck. Yeah, I did a guy at the bar last night. With Marco and Bree before they left to go back home, and I met them out this patio and we were having some drinks and eating some wings, and fucking there's a dude at the other table and I see him open up his wallet to pay, fire thing, and he shuts it real quick, and I'm like, oh my god, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Guy busts out the fire wallet, bro.
I would use that all the time. Is it old hack now? Like, is there so many out there? Like, if I pull that on a server when she comes, when I pay my tab, and like, and I freak out like it's really on fire, do you think it'll work? Or she's gonna be like, dude, I've seen that 27 times.
Yeah, like, hey, you're the third fucking on fire wallet guy tonight in my section, pal. Hey, get something new. Make your shit do a little baby fireworks. Which, by the way, why can't we duplicate the firework, the ones that explode in the sky and make it look all pretty?
Mm-hmm.
But just real little, like right in front of my face.
Oh, just on your table. Like,
yeah, a little tiny fireworks show, bro. But not something that's gonna be hidden in the smoke. I want a nice, clear fireworks show right on my table, few feet up. Maybe, you know, look, I want little mini fire. I want the little mini ones so that mm-hmm. it just pops up. So it's maybe like 5 or 6 inches.
Yeah.
You know, or the maybe one that's 2 foot, then I can just do it in my house. You know what I mean? Like, but I think the tiny little ones would look the coolest.
It would. If it looked like a real, like, end of the state fair fucking mm-hmm. fireworks show, but it was only like 2 feet off of your table and contained yeah. into the middle of your table, that would be yeah. awesome.
That'd be so badass, dude. Mm-hmm. And why can't that be done? Why?
We can accomplish it. I mean, the technology's there. This people just don't care.
They don't want to.
They don't want. They're, you know what I mean? Same thing. We can cure cancer. They're just not. We can have tiny fireworks shows. They just don't.
They're pigs.
Yeah.
They're absolute pigs. And I bet you they don't have any peg boards or any cork boards in their walls because they're not ready for the put this work in. They're not ready for the hustle or the grind. They're not ready for that level of organization, Todd.
If the Pentagon would have had cork board and pegboard walls, 9/11 would have never happened. They would have never have missed the intel
mm-mm.
that was coming in.
None of it would have happened. Nothing. Just nothing
think
bad.
About that.
That's what I would do if I was a senator. I'd pass a bill for corkboard reform. I'd pass a bill for pegboard reform. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? We're trying to get this country lined up, back organized. Guess what? Let's stop worrying about shit that we shouldn't worry about, and let's go ahead and move to organizational techniques and habits that make us a better person, which makes us a better country.
We're getting lazy. Oh, I'll store everything I need on my computer. That's lazy. You need physical shit hanging from hooks on your pegboard.
Listen, I got right here in my hands. I have a 3-function 36 LED ultra slim wire light set because I'm ready, guys.
Mm.
You're not ready. I have the pegboard next to me. I have the function 35 light ultra slim wire light set. That's what I have.
Get organized. Get yourself some pegboard. That's what we're saying.
Oh, what's Change this? Your life. Circuit Joy standard grip map? That's what I got.
Mm.
Look at that.
See?
Come on. Ready to go.
My dad has every manual to everything he's ever bought in a plastic sleeve hanging on a hook in his garage from his pegboard.
Well, that man has a question. Guess what else he has? The answer.
If you own a tool or some kind of, say you a blower, a Craftsman weed blower, uh-huh. and you ever have a question about how that thing operates or whatever, you can call my dad because he's got the manual from when he bought one in 1999 hanging on his pegboard.
It's right there and it's in pristine condition and it looks beautiful. I mean, it's just how it has to be, bro.
It's a thing of beauty. If the whole world was like that, we'd be in a better place right now. I can tell you that.
Damn it, man. Well, all we could do is hope, Todd. You know, that's all we can do.
We're putting out the information. What our country decides to do with it is up to them. All right, brother. This has been awesome. Speaking of my dad, I'm going to go see him for a little bit. So
we'll see your dad.
I'll take some pictures of the pegboard situation and post them.
All right. That sounds like a good idea.
All right, brother. I just burped a little bit. It's a good time to get out of here. Love you.
All right, buddy. Love you, too. Talk to you later.